Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 20th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
U.S. and Chinese officials lay the groundwork for high-level negotiations next month.
China announces a modest rate cut as analysts call for more.
The Bank of Japan makes cuts to its bond buying program.
And Brexit talks offer hope of a deal before next month's deadline.
A whistleblower complaint about President Trump is said to involve Ukraine. Plus, Facebook's CEO meets with President Trump and lawmakers. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Yankees beat the Angels. They clinched their first division title in 7 years. NFL Jacksonville beat Tennessee.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Clients can earn 1.63% on idle cash in their brokerage account. Restrictions apply. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
And U.S. stock index futures are higher to close out the trading week. 601 out Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 54. NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.77%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.74%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 33 cents at $58.46 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $4.60 to $15.10.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.1047 against the dollar. The yen is at 107.99. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We begin with trade talks between the U.S. and China back on the front burner. Deputies from both sides are meeting in Washington for a second day. We get the very latest now from Bloomberg's Sarah McGregor.
The two sides are trying to talk. I think neither one wants an escalation. U.S. companies are really talking about how much pain this has caused them. You know, they're obviously having to pay these import tariffs as the goods come in. So I think at this moment in time, we're led to believe that at least they're trying to make some progress and they're not necessarily talking about an escalation.
Oh, while neither side may want an escalation, U.S. advisor Michael Pillsbury tells the South China Morning Post that President Trump could increase pressure on China by raising tariffs to 50 or 100% if there's no deal soon.
Meantime, China's central bank is cutting borrowing costs by 5 basis points. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The PBOC cut the one-year reference rate for bank loans to 4.2% from 4.25%, hardly earth-shattering, and analysts immediately called for a stronger move. The PBOC has tweaked policies to address the slowdown, but it has refrained from more aggressive stimulus out of concern for financial stability and high debt. As one economist put it, right or wrong, that's the way it is. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. The Bank of Japan is also making moves. The central bank announced sweeping cuts to its bond buying program, reducing purchases by more than $460 million. We get more from Bloomberg FX and rate strategist David Finnerty.
It was the first time they cut bond purchases across three tenors, basically from 5 to 10, 10 to 25, and 25 plus. They all got trimmed. It really comes down to that steepening of the yield curve. And Governor Kuroda, he wants that yield curve to steepen. It really flattened quite a lot over the last week or 2 weeks and steepened a bit since. And today they really come out and said, okay, we really want that to steepen because of the negative impacts of a flat yield curve.
Analysts say the move should give the BOJ some breathing room as the yield curve steepened in response to the action.
For stocks in Asia, it was a mostly muted session today, except in India, where we saw equities post their biggest one-day gain in more than a decade, thanks to planned government tax cuts. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Indian stocks surged along with the rupee while bonds slumped after the country's finance minister said tax on domestic companies will be slashed to 22% from 30%. The offshore yuan rose, pairing weekly declines while the CSI 300 closed higher by a third of 1% to 3,935 points. Japan's TOPIX index closed flat, notching up a fifth weekly gain. Markets in Australia, South Korea and Taiwan all contributed to Friday's gain on the MSCI Asia Pacific index. However, over the course of the the week, Asian stocks were down around a third of 1%. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Juliet. In Europe today, Brexit talks are offering hope that there could be a deal before next month's deadline. Let's get the very latest now from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe banker Caroline Hefker live in London. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Jean-Claude Juncker sounding more optimistic that a Brexit deal can get done by the 31st of October. The European Commission president telling Sky News that if all the objectives are met, then they won't need the so-called Irish backstop provision. He's open to avoiding a hard Irish border by shifting customs and regulatory checks elsewhere. But Ireland's foreign minister is pouring cold water on that idea, saying that the substance of talks on the backstop remains stuck. Live in London, I'm Caroline Hepke, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Caroline, thank you. Between Brexit, the trade war, and a global economic slowdown, investors would do well to avoid risk right now. That's according to Oaktree Capital co-founder Howard Marks.
We have high levels of uncertainty, low prospective returns relative to history in most asset classes. So today, I would emphasize avoiding losing money over avoiding missing opportunities. But, you know, I'm a bond guy, and that's just me.
Marks has also criticized the Federal Reserve for cutting rates, saying it will boost asset prices further, making the rich richer without benefiting savers.
And the Fed's also garnering criticism from Bill Lee. The Milken Institute chief economist says dissent among FOMC members points to weak leadership from Chairman Jerome Powell.
It's gotten to the point where the dissent that used to be internal to the Fed has now become a public dissent. We have three dissenters voting against Chair Powell, and that's one of the hardest things for a chairman to do is to rein back the public dissent. And it shows that Chair Powell is probably one of the weakest chairs that the FOMC has ever had, because all the previous chairs have been able to generate that kind of consensus that he has not been able to.
And policymakers are also under pressure to fix the stress in U.S. funding markets by boosting Treasury holdings. And the New York Fed plans to do another $75 billion repo operation today. Swap spreads tumbled to record lows yesterday as calls grow louder for more aggressive steps.
And on the corporate front, shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are up more than 2% in London, the bank promoting Alison Rose to chief executive officer, making her the first woman to run one of Britain's big four lenders. She takes over November 1st. S&P futures are up 7 points, Dow futures up 61, Nasdaq futures up 24. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. Here's Michael Barr to tell us more of what's happening around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A whistleblower complaint about President Trump made by an intelligence official centers on Ukraine, according to two people familiar with the matter. That's according to a report in the Washington Post. It has set off a struggle between Congress and the executive branch. Two former U.S. officials say the complaint involved communications with a foreign leader and a promise that Trump made, which was so alarming that an intelligence official went to the Inspector General of the intelligence community. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff says the DOJ has gone against protocol and blocked that information from being reported to Congress.
If in a matter within the jurisdiction of the Director of National Intelligence, you have an employee of that community or a contractor or a detailee who follows the law and makes a complaint, and it is possible for the subject of that complaint to essentially quash the complaint or keep it from Congress, then this system is badly broken.
Meanwhile, Ukraine's president is facing calls from Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani to investigate business ventures in Ukraine involving Joe Biden's son. President Trump is hosting a ceremonial visit in honor of Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison today, including the second state dinner at the White House under President Trump. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The day of meetings and the formal Rose Garden dinner give Morrison the opportunity to remind Trump that new challenges to regional security are emerging 7 decades after their nation's alliance was cemented in World War II. It comes at a critical time as both nations seek to deal with China's growing influence in the South Pacific. While China's economic might is the main catalyst to Trump's trade war, diplomats in Washington and Canberra are increasingly concerned about Beijing's geopolitical ambitions and say both nations must now make hard choices to place real resources behind new initiatives in the region. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg met with President Trump about the practices of the social media platform. President Trump tweeted that it was a nice meeting. However, it was testy on Capitol Hill between Zuckerberg and Republican Senator Josh Hawley, over his company's record on privacy and safeguarding user data. Shopkeepers put up plywood over windows and doors as now Hurricane Lorna is bearing down on Mexico's Los Cabos area. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden, Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stanshaw.
Nathan, the Yankees could have clinched the division Wednesday night, failed to do so, so the champagne was ready to go again last night, and this time they made sure. Easy win over the Angels, 9-1, win number 100 on the season, and the Yanks are off to the postseason for the 55th time. That's 22 more times than any other franchise, and half of the previous trips have ended with winning the World Series. Last time the Yanks did that was 2009. There are two players left from that team. One is CC Sabathia. He knows the Yanks haven't gone into October as a division winner 2012.
Yeah, this is fun, especially winning the division. This, like I said, I mean, this was a big goal of ours. We were tired of playing in that wild card game. So, you know, this feels good to get this division.
Sit out that one game wild card playoff. They'll play either the wild card winner or Minnesota. Depends if the Yanks finish with a better record than Houston. They're currently a half game behind the Astros. The longest tenured Yank is Brett Gardner. Had a big game last night, a homer and a two-run double. He knows the Yanks this year overcame a ton of injuries.
Well, I mean, we just really try and take things as slow as possible, take things day by day, and, you know, everybody's done a great job of stepping up when they're needed and doing their job, and it's been a lot of fun to be a part of.
And now something else to overcome. Domingo Germán won 18 games for the Yanks, but he was not part of the celebration, and he may not be on the playoff roster. Germán said to have been involved in a domestic violence incident. MLB is investigating. For now, he's on paid administrative leave. NFL last night, Jacksonville, 9 sacks, get the first win of the year, 20-7 over Tennessee. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshaw. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show. We're going to hear from the executive director of the NFL Players Association, Demora Smith. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on Bloomberg Radio, or anytime you want if you subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports as a podcast. S&P futures extending gains, up 7 points now. Dow futures up 60. NASDAQ futures higher by almost 25 points. Sports was brought to you by Burden, Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com. Burden, Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow at 6:17 on Wall Street. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Ainsley Thompson at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Ainsley.
Good morning, Karen. Pressure on the Fed to fix U.S. funding markets is ramping up as it readies another $75 billion repo operation today. Swap spreads fell to records yesterday, signaling waning appetite for treasuries. Stock traders may get a break on liquidity today, quadruple witching, when options and futures on indexes and stocks expire, will spur trading volume as large derivative positions roll over. The Bank of Japan made sweeping cuts to bond purchases today. The central bank says it wants a steeper curve and won't allow a prolonged decline in yields. And Mark Zuckerberg's bid to deflect criticism of Facebook's privacy practices took him to the White House. The CEO had a meeting of President Trump, which was described as nice. But his encounters on Capitol Hill were testy. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Ainsley, thank you. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures up 27. They are adding to their gains. DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 1.78%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.74%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 62 cents at $58.75 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $4.30 at $15.10.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1051 against the dollar. The yen 107.9. 1-800-998-3998. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump will hear a broad range of military options from the Pentagon today as he considers how to respond to the Iranian attack on Saudi Arabia's oil industry. U.S. officials say the president will be presented with a list of potential airstrike targets inside Iran and also will be warned that military action could escalate into war. President Trump reportedly spoke with Ukraine's president in a conversation that became the focus of a whistleblower's complaint concerning the contents of the conversation. Democrats are threatening to go to court over allegations the Trump administration refused to alert Congress about the complaint about the president. In baseball, the Yankees are the AL East champs following a 9-1 pounding of the Angels. The Red Sox beat the Giants 5-4. The Orioles lost. Thursday night NFL action. The Jaguars down the Titans 20-7. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And Jane Foley is with us now, head of FX strategy at Rabobank. Good morning, Jane. We've had a couple days now to digest the central bank action this week. Where do you see the bias in terms of where the Fed could go on policy?
Well, obviously, we're going to have to wait for more economic data, but we do think that the Fed is still likely to cut interest rates again this year, perhaps not too soon. Well, we're penciling that move now in for December, but the Fed is clearly very data reactive. But I think for the dollar, it gets very interesting because central banks this year have been really very proactive. We've seen an awful lot of movements from an awful lot of central banks around the world, and that has left the market consensus on the back foot going into the start of the year. The market thought, oh, the Fed is going to turn dovish, therefore the dollar will go down, and of course that isn't what has happened. The dollar's remained firm. Other central banks have been cutting more aggressively than the Fed, and also there's been a very strong demand for dollars. And this, of course, is linked with the dollar's very dominant position on the payment system and the fact that there has been the slowdown in economic growth, the fear about the trade wars, and the dollar has remained very firm. And we don't think that that's going to ebb away anytime soon.
Why is that?
Well, you know, I suppose it depends what time frame you're looking at. I think it is quite likely that we will get positive headlines in the next few weeks regarding trade, and perhaps that will boost risk appetite. Like we've seen today, we've seen most stock markets push higher, and that is generally associated with a softer dollar as money flows from the dollar back into higher yielding currencies. But generally, if we do get a continuation of some type of tension between US and China up until the US election, which we think is quite likely, and if we do see more bad news with respect to global growth, I think it's quite likely that demand for dollars globally will remain quite firm.
If we see a breakthrough of some sort on the US-China trade front, what does that do to the global growth picture?
Well, it will be taken as very good news. You know, if we look, for instance, at the comments that we saw from the OECD yesterday, they downwardly revised their growth projections for this year and for next year. And some of those comments were associated with the trade frictions. Now, that is a fairly commonplace assumption. We've seen it very much in China growth. We've seen the slowdown in China growth really pushing through the trade channels to countries such as South Korea, Germany, Japan, etc. So we know that if there's good news on trade, some positive headlines, we're likely to see risk appetite surge. We're likely to see stock markets go higher, emerging market assets be a bit higher as well. But we think that we might just get some sort of mini deal. And actually, there will remain in some form or other some tensions between the US and China that will continue to remain a constraint on global growth into next year.
In our last minute here, we've seen some positive headlines just this morning on the Brexit front, the possibility of a deal before the October 31st deadline. What's your outlook for the pound now?
Well, certainly, if that progress continues, I think the pound will go higher. Again, it's very binary with respect to the pound. If there is a deal, the pound goes higher. If there isn't a deal, the pound goes lower. But certainly over the last week, we've seen quite a bit of short covering in sterling, pushing cable and sterling higher against the euro. And this will continue if the positive news carries through the weekend. So we've seen Juncker, the president of the EU, in a press interview, indicate that there was scope for a deal by the end of next month. And we've also seen this week at the DUP, which was the Northern Ireland party that was supporting Boris Johnson's party in Westminster, we've seen them soften their stance with respect to what might be acceptable to them in terms of a new arrangement for trade between the Republic of Ireland and the North.
Jane Foley, head of FX at Rabobank. Always good talking with you. Thanks so much for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Quick look at the pound right now. It's at 1.2521 against the dollar. That's a very slight weakness on the session. Futures on Wall Street moving higher. S&P futures up 7.5 points now. Dow futures up 65. And NASDAQ futures are higher by almost 26 points. This is Bloomberg. And tune into the weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. We set you up for the coming week on Wall Street every Saturday at 5 a.m., at 4 p.m. Saturdays, and Sunday mornings at 9 on Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. stock index futures are higher as we close out a trading week highlighted by several central bank decisions. It's quadruple witching day when the quarterly expiration of futures and options on indexes and stocks occur on the same day.
Well, the New York Fed plans to do another $75 billion overnight repo operation today. It'll be the fourth cash injection in a row. Market participants say the Fed needs to come up with a long-term solution.
Trade deputies from the U.S. and China are set for a second day of talks in Washington. The Trump administration says a Chinese delegation will also visit American farmlands next week.
Now, meanwhile, China's central bank is cutting borrowing costs, lowering its reference rate for bank loans by 5 basis points. We get more from Bloomberg's Zenda Curran in Hong Kong.
It was a signal from authorities that they are willing to do more to support the economy, but it was a pretty modest step, 5 basis points, that perhaps suggests they're trying to keep an eye on the overall credit and debt story in China that we all know so much about. They're trying to keep things stable.
The somewhat modest move has analysts calling for stronger easing from Beijing as data show economic growth continues to slow.
In Europe today, Brexit talks are offering hope there could be a deal before the October 31st deadline. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek in London.
Jean-Claude Juncker told Sky News that he was doing everything to prevent a no-deal Brexit, which he says will be catastrophic. He's confirmed he's been sent documents by Boris Johnson outlining draft ideas for new terms. The pair had face-to-face discussions earlier this week for the first time since the Prime Minister came into office. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. Shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are up more than 3%. The bank promoted Alison Rose to chief executive officer, making her the first woman to run one of Britain's big four lenders.
And oil rising once again, capping one of the most dramatic weeks ever for crude, where 5% of the world's supplies were cut by attacks on Saudi production facilities. Prices are up about 8% this week. Checking oil now, NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1%, up 62 cents at $58.75 a barrel. Brent is up 0.6% or 37 cents at $64.76. Futures are higher, and they've been adding to their gains all morning. Right now, S&P futures are up about 8 points. Dow futures up 60. NASDAQ futures up 26. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.77%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.74%. COMEX gold is up 0.33%, at $5.40 at $15.1160 an ounce, and the euro 1.1048 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has the latest on what's happening around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The latest standoff between Congress and the executive branch has evolved over an alleged phone call in which President Trump made a promise to a foreign leader. According to the Washington Post, the complaint from an intelligence official centers on Ukraine, but it's unclear how. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The government's intelligence watchdog did testify in closed session of the House Intelligence Committee about a whistleblower's complaint. Committee Chair Adam Schiff says the White House is blocking any effort to investigate.
And if the assertion is accurate that the Department of Justice has made and the DNI has affirmed that this involves a potentially privileged communication, then at one level or another, it likely involves either the president or people around him.
And he says he hopes a whistleblower will be brought in next week. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ukraine's president is facing calls from Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani to investigate business ventures in Ukraine involving Joe Biden's son. New documents show the FBI has used secret subpoenas to obtain personal data from more companies than previously revealed. The requests reported in the New York Times have raised privacy concerns, including getting information from places such as banks, credit agencies, and cell phone carriers. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg met with President Trump as he tried to sway Congress and policymakers who have been critical of the practices of the social media platform. According to a Facebook spokesman, Zuckerberg had a constructive meeting with the president. However, Zuckerberg's meetings on Capitol Hill grew testy as he clashed with lawmakers over his company's record on privacy and safeguarding user data. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced a move to tackle high drug pricing. Pelosi says the plan would allow Medicare to negotiate prices for seniors and younger people.
We don't want a political issue at the polls. We want a solution in the Congress, and we want it now.
On the Gulf Coast, what's left of Tropical Storm Imelda produced heavy rain for more than 24 hours. It is blamed for at least one death outside of Houston in Harris County. Houston's Mayor Sylvester Turner.
These storms are coming with greater intensity and greater frequency, and we have to find ways to address them and minimize the risk.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, in a season where a record 30 players have been on the injured list, the Yankees still achieved something not done since 2012.
And the 1-2 struck him out swinging. Ball game over. American League East over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Heard that from John Sterling, WFAN, 100 times this season. Last night's win, 9-1 over the Angels. 4 home runs were hit, including the 25th from DJ LeMahieu, who might be the Yankee MVP. 26th of the season from the longest tenured Yank, Brett Gardner. And check a goal off the list, says manager Aaron Boone.
One of the things we talked about in spring training was winning the division, and that's a reality now. And, you know, you think of a lot of people that contributed to this. Obviously we have bigger goals, and but this is an important step, and I'm just proud of the guys and the so many people, some that aren't even in that room right now, that have contributed to us being here.
Hey, Domingo Herman was not in the room. MLB is investigating a claim of domestic violence against Herman, who's won 18 games this season. For now, he's on administrative leave. Remaining games still have meaning. Yanks half game behind the Astros. That'll determine their first-round opponent, either the Twins or whoever emerges out of the wild card. If the season ended now, the Cubs would miss the playoffs. They lost in 10 innings to the Cardinals. They fell a half game behind Milwaukee. The Mets have faint playoff hopes. They play tonight in Cincinnati. NFL Week 3 kicked off. Jacksonville beat Tennessee 20-7. Both teams are 1-2. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. The Federal Reserve cut its benchmark interest rate this week by another quarter of a percentage point. That was much expected, but little else is going according to plan. The Fed is still wrestling with heightened uncertainty, a lot of it needlessly inflicted by President Donald Trump. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell emphasized again Wednesday that trade frictions are a main cause of anxiety among U.S. and foreign businesses. And nobody knows how the trade climate will change over the coming weeks and months. Under these circumstances, monetary policy can't make things right, and lower interest rates might not provide the needed boost. The truth is, the Fed can't know what interest rates should be in 3 months or next year. Make no mistake, the worst-case scenario could push the U.S. and the world into the next recession. And if it does, there'll be little the Fed can do. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg opinion, visit Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. It's just before 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Shipping all those packages to all those customers day after day produces a lot of business for Amazon.com. It also comes at a price to the planet with a carbon footprint that rivals that of a small country. Now, Amazon is vowing to reduce the damage by cutting its use of fossil fuels to meet the goals of the landmark Paris Climate Accord a decade early. Chief Executive Jeff Bezos acknowledged a steady drumbeat of criticism, not only from activists, but a vocal group of his own employees.
You know, we've been in the middle of the herd on this issue, and we want to move to the forefront. We want to be leaders. We want to say, look, if a company of Amazon's complexity, scale, scope, physical infrastructure, delivering 10 billion items can do this, so can you.
Bezos announced plans to buy 100,000 electric delivery vehicles set to arrive by 2021. He says the company will reach 80% renewable energy use by 2024 and 100% by 2030, up from 40% today. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Some other stories we're watching. Google spending $3.3 billion over the next 2 years to expand its server farms in Europe. The company will have spent more than $16 billion on its European data center since 2007. JCPenney is preparing for talks with creditors to ease its debt burden. That would give the struggling retailer's new CEO more breathing room heading into the crucial holiday season. Bondholders have been pushing JCPenney to consider a swap or extension of some of its $4 billion of debt. And in India, the government has cut taxes on domestic businesses to one of the lowest rates in Asia. That will provide a $20 billion boost to an economy whose growth has fallen to a six-year low. Futures adding to gains, with S&P futures up 7.5 points now. Dow futures higher by 66 points and NASDAQ futures up 25.5. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro E-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CME Mini. And futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures in the green right now, with Dow futures up 61 points, S&P's gained 7, and NASDAQ futures climbed by 25. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.78%. Gold is up 5. And Asian markets were mixed overnight. Well, European markets are trading higher, led by gains in Italy and Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 12 o'clock, household change in net worth. And after the bell last night, Oracle's CEO promised a big year for sales growth. In other news, a rogue oil trader lost $320 million at Mitsubishi's Singapore unit. JCPenney is said to prep for creditor talks. And Beyond Meat tapped a former Tesla head to lead its operations. Wrapping things up, United Rentals upgraded to buy over at Goldman Sachs, while Etsy was upgraded to outperform over at RBC. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the Trump administration is in a battle with Congress over access to a whistleblower's reported complaint about incidents, including a private conversation between President Trump and a foreign leader. According to the Washington Post, the government's intelligence watchdog says the blocked complaint is serious and urgent. President Trump says he had a nice meeting with Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. However, Republican Senator John Hawley had a testy clash with Zuckerberg over Facebook's record on privacy and safeguarding users' data. In baseball, the Red Sox beat the Giants 5-4. The Orioles lost. Don't worry, Yankee fans. I'm saving the best for last. Thursday night NFL action. The Jaguars down the Titans 27. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg.
Yes.
Hail the Yankees for clinching the AL East title by beating the Angels. They won 100 games this year, even with an array of injuries. The Braves are poised to win the NL East with one more victory. The Brewers are within a game of the Nationals for the top NL wild card spot. Nathan, the Dodgers already clinched.
Yeah, this really is the best time of the year, Michael. Magic numbers. October is just around the corner.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it just gets me all baseball. Global News, 24
hours. Pass me the Cracker Jack.
24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
And I'll see you in the nosebleeds at Yankee Stadium next month. Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just before 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump hosting Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison for the second state dinner of the Trump presidency. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg making the rounds on Capitol Hill and at the White House as the social network faces even tougher scrutiny. And the president calling talks with the Taliban easier than reaching a deal on biofuel. Also making news this morning, the whistleblower complaint about President Trump's talks with a foreign leader appears to be snowballing. And Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us now with more on this. The details on this complaint continue to drip and drab. What do we know so far about it, Kate?
Well, as you said, the details keep emerging kind of day by day on this. And with a lot of these stories, it's kind of hard to keep in mind sort of the big picture. And so what we've figured out over the past 24 hours, or what's been reported, there's been kind of this question about who the foreign leader that Trump allegedly spoke with was. And then it's now been reported that it's the new president of the Ukraine. And that's something that, you know, obviously evokes a lot of questions about, you know, obviously Ukraine is close to Russia. This is whether or not this is another example of something that will turn into an allegation about Trump as it relates to the, you know, his dealings with foreign leaders in that area of the world specifically.
Yeah. And when you talk about the big picture, give us a view of what that big picture could be. I mean, there have been some reports that the president was withholding aid from Ukraine in exchange for things. What do we know about that?
Well, Trump is insisting that he's done nothing inappropriate. However, what the whistleblower alleged is that in a conversation with Ukraine's leader, that Trump made some sort of a promise that would have been inappropriate and potentially, you know, legally problematic, and certainly, you know, inappropriate of a president. And so, you know, I think that's the question there is, you know, did this conversation occur? And what exactly was said during that conversation? And did Trump say anything that would, you know, essentially be inappropriate for a president to have said?
And it sounds like it's developing to be yet one more thing for Democrats on Capitol Hill to potentially investigate when it comes to the president. But they're finding themselves stonewalled by the acting director of national intelligence, Joseph McGuire.
They are, and McGuire is going to be testifying on the Hill next week, and so I think that that's going to be sort of the next data point to look for in terms of all this, to see what happens when he goes to testify and what kind of additional information comes out. But as of now, essentially, you know, the position of the administration is that they don't owe any additional information to Congress, and that there's nothing that they would have to turn over. And Trump is somewhat protected here by the fact that the president, not him specifically, but the president does get a fairly wide berth when it comes to conducting foreign policy and specifically intelligence operations, and so, or intelligence related matters. And so that could be something that could be where Congress could have a more difficult time getting the information they're looking for.
Well, let's move on to Mark Zuckerberg. He was in Washington, or still is in Washington. What's going on with the talks between the Facebook CEO and lawmakers and the president?
Well, you know, what we heard out of his meeting with the president is that it was a constructive meeting, but we didn't get a whole lot of details. When it comes to Capitol Hill, we know that Congress is very eager to, you know, hold Facebook's feet to the fire and make sure that there are some additional steps that are taken to better secure user data and user privacy, and also to make sure that the social, that the platform isn't used as it was in 2016 to manipulate voters in the 2020 election. I think there's a real sense on Capitol Hill that not enough has been done in that regard heading into the next campaign, and I think there's a lot of concern out there. So I think we're hearing that concern. There were some tense exchanges yesterday, and I think we're going to continue to hear that concern going forward.
Is Zuckerberg giving any indication that he's willing to accept more regulation or to be more proactive when it comes to protecting user privacy and doing something about electoral manipulation?
As we typically see with companies, I think Zuckerberg's position has been mostly to try to reassure Washington that, you know, they're taking all the steps that are necessary on their own. So essentially, the implication there is that there's no need for Washington to intervene. I think typically companies, and Facebook is no exception here, want to try to solve their own problems rather than having Washington come in and solve it for them. However, you know, I think that there's a fair amount of skepticism that's built up on Capitol Hill in particular as to whether or not Facebook is really going to take those steps that are necessary.
All right. In our last minute here, can you set the scene for us on this lavish welcome that Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison is expecting from the White House today?
Yeah, well, this is going to be only Trump's second state dinner. And so I think that, you know, as with anything Trump, he likes to do it up big. And so I think that it will be certainly one to watch. I think that his relationship with Australia's prime minister has had kind of its ups and downs. I'm thinking back to some of those logs of early in Trump's administration conversations that were released to the public of some of their talks, which had their testy moments. And so I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, just kind of the parlor game in Washington of watching this all play out tonight, the pomp and circumstance of it all, but whether or not there's any actually concrete progress on policy that pertains to both the U.S. and Australia, I think, you know, remains to be seen. We'll have to watch and see.
All right. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, we know you'll be watching. Thanks for being here. And read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Only Congress has authority to lock and load on Iran. I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Both President Trump and Vice President Pence have said the United States is locked and loaded to respond to the attack on Saudi oil fields, which is widely believed to be Iran's responsibility. Whether American retaliation would serve our interests is a good question. But another question has to be answered first. Who gets to decide? The Constitution gives Congress, not the President, the power to declare war. Even Alexander Hamilton, the founder most associated with an expansive view of executive power, thought that the President could use force only in response to attacks on our country. In that case, the President would not be starting a war, but recognizing that we're already in one. We're not in that situation today. Congress approved the war in Afghanistan and both wars in Iraq before the fighting started. Trump should follow those precedents. We're not locked and loaded until Congress says so. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. S&P futures are up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 49 and NASDAQ futures up 20. The DAX in Germany is up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.77%, and the yield on the two-year 1.74%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1% or 62 cents at $58.75 a barrel. COMEX gold up a third of a percent at $15.11.20 an ounce. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.